the House come to order if members can take their seats.
This budget is a huge job maker, and the number one solution to economic insecurity is a job.
Hungry children can't learn, and it's our responsibility to try to help.
Equality and opportunity.
I believe most people are here because they want to do some good.
Welcome to the newest installment of Capital Ideas, the podcast where members of the majority Democrats in the Washington State House of Representatives sit down at the Capitol and talk about ideas. Last time around, we talked with Representative Tim Ormsby, one of the longest-serving members of the House Democratic Caucus and chair of the House Appropriations Committee. By way of contrast, today's guest is brand-new Representative Osman Salahuddin. Osman was appointed by the King County Council to a seat in the 48th District that had been vacated, and he was sworn in as a lawmaker just a few days before the opening of the 2025 session. Obviously, this is his first time on Capital Ideas, and I think you'll be interested in what he has to say. We recorded this on Tuesday, January 14th, 2025, and it went like this. And welcome to Capital Ideas, Representative Osman Salahuddin. Welcome to Olympia. Welcome to Capital Ideas.
Thank you so much. I am incredibly honored to be here, and this is an opportunity that, you know, a few years ago I didn't think was possible. And here I am, the youngest legislator in the state, and an exciting opportunity for me to represent my hometown district of the 48th.
You never know what's possible until it happens.
Exactly. The journey to get to here has been incredible. My parents actually were here yesterday for the opening session and opening ceremony where I was officially sworn in, and seeing their faces, especially as immigrants who came to this country, not knowing what would be possible for their family and the struggles that they went through, really inspired me to do the work that I do every single day.
And where did they immigrate from?
Yeah, so my parents immigrated from Pakistan. They came here a few years before I was born, and they are truly the hardest workers I know, the most inspirational people I know. My mom is actually a special education preschool paraeducator, which is something, coming up this session that I will fight for folks like her. And then my dad is a small business owner and has been for over 30 years, and making sure that our economy for our small businesses and for folks that are doing work locally, I'm gonna fight for that.
This is a good place to do that. You've also done some of that previously. You are a member of the Redmond City Council. You work as a staff member with the King County Council. I don't want to give your whole biography here. I want you to do some of that. But also, I know that you were the president of the student body at the University of Washington. That's not a small thing. And I know that it maybe prepared you a little better than your average bear to come down here and get some work done.
Absolutely. For anyone in university or anyone in college listening to this, join your local student government. That really got me my first start and my passion for advocacy when I had the opportunity to represent, as you mentioned, not a small opportunity, over 45,000 students at the University of Washington back in 2018. And that's when I first came down to Olympia to advocate for student issues such as affordable housing, making sure that access to college and affordability was made possible, behavioral health resources, and making sure that the safety and well-being of students was taken care of. And people in Olympia, our legislators, our staff, are doing just that to fight for students, just as I was at the university. So that was an incredible opportunity where I was a voice for so many across our state.
You know, I watched your nomination speech in the King County Council chambers. One of the things that impressed the heck out of me is you cited some bill numbers from bills that were passed two or three biennia ago. And these are things that a lot of members who have been around here for a while who are sponsoring a big bill might not know the number of that bill. You seem to have a mind that really likes this kind of stuff.
That's true. I love it. And, the bill numbers to me, for example, I referenced one of the bills that I worked on in 2017-18, along with the legislators to, advocate for was House Bill 1488, which expanded opportunities for students to have access to the college-bound scholarship. and it was specifically undocumented students. And this is something that changed the lives of so many in our state, and thousands of students now had access to a scholarship that they otherwise wouldn't have. So I say the number to draw reference to the bill, but really I think the core of what me as a legislator, our amazing staff throughout Olympia and across our state should be, you know, advocating for is accessibility. Talking about the bill, making sure that folks know the great work that we're doing out down here and what I hope to do this session.
Before we get into this session, because we're recording this on day two of the 2025 session, I want to talk about a little bit of background. Part of it is very near background, which is the orientation that you might or might not have received. If you'd been elected back in November, there's an entire process that new members, members-to-be, members-elect, go through of orientation, how to be a state legislator, how to act on the floor, how to deal with committees, et cetera, et cetera. How to deal with your legislative assistant, which I'm not even sure you have yet. You haven't gotten much of that, have you? Have they just tossed you into the water and said, Osman, swim?
They tossed me right in and then threw in a little life jacket right after to say, hey, we're here to support you. And, you know, I've been on now, it's less than 1 week since the appointment, and it has been like drinking water from a fire hose, and everything is coming all at once. But the beauty of it is that there is such an incredible support system. So although the orientation was brief, although I don't have a legislative assistant, and although I'm still looking for my office space to be finalized, there is just an incredible community of support from other legislators to staff members who are stepping up and giving me the insight, giving me helpful tips and tricks that they've learned over the years. And I've been honored to just have had so much outreach and support being shared with me.
Now I want to move a little farther back in your life. I've heard a couple of times that you have a background in neuroscience. I'm wondering what that means. Does that mean that that's what your concentration was when you were at UW? And what were you preparing for?
So I do have a scientific, science-based background. Actually, tracking back a little bit to the beginning of university, I jumped into the University of Washington, having grown up on the east side my entire life, knowing that this local university in our state was the one that I wanted to go to. And I entered, and I was actually a pre-law, pre-med student. I was pre-everything, just making sure that I could have my bearings and try to figure out what I wanted to do. And as soon as I started taking some of the science classes, I was hooked, and I wanted to find a career that really focused on healthcare. So I was taking different courses, and neuroscience was actually one that when I took some initial courses, I was drawn to the study of the science behind how folks behave. And understanding that level of detail, understanding behavior, was just fascinating. And so academically, I studied neuroscience, but along the side, I did research projects and academic research at the Fred Hutch Cancer Research Center, at the University of Washington Medical Center, in the emergency department, and the traumatic brain injury department, all in hope to attend medical school, which ultimately didn't end up happening. And I pivoted out truly because I value all of our doctors, all of our healthcare professionals. And for me, healthcare is not about just helping one person. I know that that's incredibly important, but I'm in a position now to help the health of entire communities. And that's what I hope to do with policy.
What committees have you been assigned to? And if there's a difference, tell me which committees you requested.
I have been assigned to post-secondary education, higher ed, which is what I did request based on my background experience at the university. I also received capital budget, which is not one of my requests. I did request transportation, though I understand that from Chair Fye, things are a little tight because a lot of folks are on that committee, a lot of moving parts. So that is a passion of mine. I've been on the board of Transportation Choices Coalition, the Eastside Transportation Partnership, and I was a regular transit rider in my time when I was at the UW from Redmond. Shout out to the 545 and 542 bus lines. And then I also am on Civil Rights and Judiciary, which is one that I didn't request, but I'm really excited to be on, and the opportunity to advocate for communities that look like me, have had experiences like my own family, and the possibility to bring a voice that historically has not been heard in the legislature.
These are all key committees. People would say every committee is a key committee or it wouldn't exist, but some are more key than others. I might have jumped the gun a little bit here. We started talking about several things right off the bat. And the fact is, a lot of people might not know who you are. And if they don't read the local papers, they might not know that you exist. So tell me a little bit about your background and what you're about.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And I wish Redmond had a local paper. We'll hopefully get the Redmond Reporter soon. I bring up Redmond because that's the community and that's the town that I grew up in. Born and raised in Redmond, Washington, the 48th Legislative District, and that's really where I got my start in community engagement. I went to local public schools, I volunteered at local nonprofits, I served as a PCO in my community, and I actually even opened up a coffee shop right there in the district because I knew that the community was so important to me, and having spaces where I felt included in the community and where I wanted everyone to feel included. That's what I'm all about. And from there, I just started getting more and more engaged through my parents' involvement in Redmond and through in the 48th, and attended the University of Washington, where I had the opportunities I shared earlier in the podcast where, student body president, which allowed me to really speak up on behalf of so many student issues and be a voice for those that were often unheard and underserved. I wanted to take that advocacy even further. And that's where, after I graduated, I got involved with a few local nonprofits, including One America Votes, to be on their Muslim committee, Transportation Choices Coalition, as I mentioned, for transportation advocacy, and even on the Lake Washington School District Career and Technical Education Committee, so that I could really amplify the voices of the people and the opportunities that were accessible after high school for so many students, including apprenticeships, trade school. So all that to say, community service is what runs through my blood, and all of that has been centered around the 48th, which it's a part of my DNA.
You know, one thing is different about your tenure here, which is you did not run for this office in the traditional way. You didn't go around to every door in the 48th district and explain who you were and ask them about their priorities. I know you've done some doorbelling as a member of the city council. What have you heard, and how has it shaped your priorities?
Well, I would say doorbelling, number one, is one of the most fascinating things that I think everyone should experience. And in my campaign for Redmond City Council, actually, we knocked on over 8,000 doors, which was the most at that time. And I got a broad youth coalition to help door knock, so got youth engaged. And that's one of the biggest things, is making sure that our next generation feels uplifted. When we were at the doors, though, those are the same priority issues that I was hearing in Redmond that are reflected across Bellevue and Kirkland in the 48th, across the Hunts Point communities. And that's how I've built my legislative priorities for this session, including ensuring access to education, affordable health care, making sure that folks have housing, the safety and well-being of community members, and environmental protections. You know, those core five issues are repeatedly what I hear at the doors, in community events, and those are legislative priorities for me that I will advocate for across this session and beyond.
So it sounds like you've got your priorities straight, and there's a lot of them. It's obvious that you're a person who prepares. What are your plans for the next 104 days here? Do you have a couple of bills in your pocket that you're going to focus on? Do you plan to sit back and kind of survey things before you jump in? How are you sketching out the 2025 session? Because just from the short amount of time that I have known you, I know that you're not just stumbling through life.
Great question, age-old question of what will this session look like and what will I advocate for. Right now, I think having been sworn in only 7 days ago by the King County Council, 1 day ago by the official Chief Justice in session, I am just sitting back and listening for the first few weeks, because I want to make sure that I'm not jumping into anything without doing my research. And you mentioned, you know, I do like to do my research. I like to make sure that I'm listening to all my residents and all the residents in the 48th and across the state. That's the most important thing to me, is amplifying the voices of the people that entrust me in this role. I do that, I didn't mention in my background, but my experience at the King County Council as a staff member, and also having served on the Redmond City Council, where I bring all of my community engagement into the decisions that I make. So I do have a few bills lined up, and I'm working with a lot of community organizations to ensure that it's the right fit for our community, but it's the right fit for all Washingtonians, so that we can hopefully get broad coalition of support across the legislature. But the next 104 days are going to be tough, and that's something that everyone knows. It's not a secret anymore, and what I want to do is dispel any of the uncertainty, make sure that I'm engaging with communities to let them know the realities of what we're going through, whether it be the budget, whether it be, concerns with, the legislation that folks might be talking about, and just ensuring that they have the information that we need so that we hear from community.
Osman, we've been talking here for a few minutes, and that's really about all the time that a first-year lawmaker has around here on day two. I realize there are other people who need your presence here. I want to give you one chance here to steer the conversation. Is there anything I haven't brought up or that you haven't brought up yet that you would like people to know here in your first, but definitely not last, Capital Ideas?
Thank you, Dan, and I really appreciate the time. And I will take 20 minutes for you, not just these 15 minutes we've been speaking. And, what I do want to say is, as the youngest legislator now in the state, something that I say because it's important for my communities. I was looking at a statistic from a reputable data source. It's online, and message me for the link. 6% of legislators in the state governments of our entire country are under the age of 35, whereas 34% of the voting electorate is under that age. This is a group that is unheard and often undervalued in terms of the perspectives that we're bringing, the opportunities for engagement. And I think that this is a voice that needs to be reflected all across our country. And I'm honored to have that opportunity in our state to represent the diverse voices of the 48th LD. I could dive right into statistics about the demographics, the vision, and what folks have been telling me, whether it be at the doors or in community meetings, my time on Redmond City Council and hearing from constituents. But what I truly care about is making sure that community is heard. And so I really appreciate this opportunity and look forward to more conversations.
They will come. We've been talking with Representative Osman Salahuddin from the Fightin' 48th District on the east side of beautiful Lake Washington. Thank you for being on Capital Ideas, Osman. It's been a pleasure talking with you.
Thank you.
Well, that was impressive. Keep in mind, Representative Osman Salahuddin is 28 years old. The people of the 48th District and the state should be happy he's working for them here in Olympia. Now here's the part where I say thanks for listening, and please subscribe to Capital Ideas if you haven't beat me to it. You can do that at Apple, Spotify, or the other major aggregators, or by visiting the House Democratic Caucus webpage at housedemocrats.wa.gov and poking the media button up at the top. You really should. This is your state government, and what happens here matters. I'm Dan Frizzell for the Washington State House Democrats, putting people first since 1889, the year construction on the Eiffel Tower was completed in Paris. Thanks for listening.